The following podcast is a Super Network production with your hosts, Super Marcy.
Yeah, definitely a step up, but, you know, that could be perhaps maybe the script just worked. Maybe it was just the fact that it had Eric Roberts being all Eric Roberts-y.
The terrible Australian, Bea Jamine.
Why doesn't the vampire just leave? It's not like that he's being held there against his will. And we've seen him a few times on top of built-on roofs. Like, why does he just piss off and leave?
It contains coarse and explicit language.
The housemate dude, I was like, why the f*** are you dressed like Constantine? That was just weirding out the whole time.
Mature themes.
You know, it's your wedding day and everyone always has cold feet and they sort of... This is kind of more the extreme version of that kind of scenario. Like, should I marry a serial killer or not?
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more, please visit supermarcy.com and show your support at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy the show.
G'day everyone, this is Bea Jamine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome back to the long-awaited 24th episode of Podcasts as the Horror, the podcast where my co-host Super Marcy and I dissect horror anthology film and TV shows. And with me, as always, is my very awesome co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hello, hello. Good to be back on Podcasters of Horror, even though it has been a little bit of a hiatus. But we're back. Back again.
Indeed. It has been 6 months since our last episode, which was a bonus episode we did on the horror anthology film, The Christmas Tapes. And we also had some pretty awesome interviews with some of the stars of that film. But yeah, it has been quite a while, but it's been like that with a couple of our, I would say, our Friday shows. We've just been so busy with a lot of things that we haven't had a chance to record episodes for those, except for To Be Tuesdays, because, you know, that's more of a weekly show. But we are definitely going to get back into the swing of things and bring back the Friday shows, because I know people are anxiously waiting for these shows to make a return.
Hopefully.
And yes. And since we're doing Podcasters of Horror, now we have been doing a series look on Channel Zero, and we will do that. Go back to watch the third and fourth seasons of that show very soon. But we figured since we're kind of bringing the show back, we'll start off with things with a little simple and talk about two episodes of, I guess you could say, probably one of the greatest anthology TV shows of all time that mixes both science fiction, horror, and drama. And that, of course, is the original Twilight Zone.
Yes, indeed. The classic of classics. I haven't seen every episode of the original Twilight Zone, but I've seen select episodes, and I know how insanely influential the Twilight Zone has been for a very, very long time, because this show was like the late 50s, I believe.
Yeah, definitely, and right up until the 60s as well. So I'm the kind of the same as you. I've only watched the odd episode here or there, because I remember when I was younger, when I could go down to the video shop, and TV shows at the time, when they were released on VHS, they only had like a few episodes of the show. So they did that with the Twilight Zone, so I was able to watch a couple of classic episodes from the series on those tapes. You sort of had the suggestion of doing two episodes for this episode, this sort of comeback episode for Podcasters of Horror, which I was very down to, because we have picked two episodes that not only are considered classics from the series, but also do have surprisingly a lot of similarities with each other, and as well were hilariously spoofed on the TV show The Simpsons.
Yes, these ones were very well-known Simpsons segments from the Treehouse of Horror episodes. So the two episodes we'll be talking about today, Living Doll and Little Lost Girl, and we'll start off with Living Doll.
My name is Talkie-Tina, and I'm beginning to hate you.
My name is Eric Strader, and I'm going to get rid of you.
You wouldn't dare.
Huh?
Wouldn't I?
Annabelle would hate you, Christy would hate you, and I would hate you.
Just seeing how it works.
Oh!
So you have feelings?
Doesn't everything?
Then I can hurt you.
Not really, but I could hurt you.
Threats from above.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. The game's over.
Game?
Come on, Annabelle, get off it. How dense do you think I am?
I wish I knew what you were talking about.
Oh, I admit I don't know too much about modern times, like putting walkie-talkies in dolls.
Walkie-talkies?
Come on, get off it, will you, Annabelle?
Which was the 126th episode of the Twilight Zone series. It was episode number 6 in season 5. The opening narration, which I will read in my... probably my worst Rod Sterling voice. I'm gonna try. Opening narration. Talkie Tina, a doll that does everything. A lifelike creation of plastic and springs and painted smile. To Eric Streeter, she is the most unwelcome addition to his household, but without her, he'd never enter the Twilight Zone.
You've just been waiting all day just to do the feed.
I literally have, because I watched these two episodes. I was preparing to watch them like before we recorded, so it was fresh in my mind. So I'm glad I did that. In terms of this episode, I'd heard a lot about it, and I'd only seen maybe a couple of scenes, but I hadn't actually seen the whole episode all the way through. So when I did some episode suggestions, this was like, I really want to do this one. Had you seen or did you know much about this episode beforehand?
Living Doll is one of those episodes you hear so much about over the years. Like, even though I had not seen it until in prep for this show, it is one of those episodes, like I said, I've heard about so much over the years, and it was also kind of a episode that inspired a lot of things as well, because as we kind of I stated before, like, these two episodes that we're talking about for this show were big influences on episodes of The Simpsons. Living Doll, in particular, was parodied in the Clown Without Pity segment from the Treehouse of Horror 3 episode of The Simpsons, which, in that version, it's a Krusty the Clown doll that's harassing Homer. And so, and also,
it's,
you know...
It's because also... it's because this thing was set to evil.
Exactly. but, you know, at the same time, you know, the doll was trying to kill him and the toaster was laughing at Homer as well.
Yeah,
so,
true.
But also it was kind of an inspiration for a lot of movies as well. Like, I know Child's Play was obviously inspired by the episode. Dolly Dearest was another one. Even the Annabelle films were also kind of partially inspired by it as well. So I think even before all those films came out, Living Doll was kind of the quintessential, like, evil doll story. Unless you count that segment from the horror anthology film Dead of Night, which we will definitely have to talk about for a future episode of the show. As an episode on its own, now that I've finally seen it, I think it's a really great episode. Like, it is... It starts off really well because this episode stars the great Telly Savalas as Eric, who is the stepdad to his wife's daughter, Christy. And he is such a horrible person as well, because he really treats both his wife, Annabelle, played by Mary LaRoche, and Christy so poorly, especially because the episode kind of starts off with Annabelle buying Christy a new doll. And basically one of the first things and they were trying to be sneaky about it by not letting him know that they bought a new doll. And, you know, he finds out and he's basically like, oh, whose money did you charge that under and all that. So it's very obvious, like, he's just an absolute asshole who treats Christy and Annabelle poorly, particularly poor Christy, because, you know, she's only just a little girl, but he really is very mean to her.
He's really mean.
And then, of course, When we introduce to the talking Tina doll, who is voiced by, in uncredibly, June Barrée. Like, of course, like, it's one of the reasons why Christy wanted to buy the doll, because it's like the new toy that's out, and especially because it talks. Mm. And of course, it just says things like, "Hi, I'm talking Tina." And then eventually, like, every time that Eric is with talking Tina, and she starts talking, she says these very threatening things to him. And you're kind of not sure whether it's all in Eric's head or the doll genuinely has a vendetta against him.
I mean, judging by his behavior, I was like, that doll is going to kill you, motherfucker. Yeah, the character of Eric, played very assholely by Telly Savalas. My God, like, I was like, dude, what the fuck is up your ass? Why are you such an asshole? He was so mean. Eric was just mean. He's mean to his wife. He's mean to the stepdaughter. So when you see Talky Tina the doll, which is like, "I'm Talky Tina, and I don't like you very much." I'm like, "Hey, he's gonna get it. She don't like you. She knows you're an asshole." But it's, you know, because these episodes are only like 25 minutes long, like, it builds up enough and gets you to where it needs to get going very quickly and very well. Which I give credit to a show that can do that in, you know, like 20, 25 minutes, like this show does. For it to be a very engaging episode. Like, I absolutely loved this episode. I just thought it was great. And I am absolutely terrified of Talky Tina. I do not want to see that doll. Like, I don't generally have a problem with dolls. I collect certain dolls. I mean, to be fair, I've had to get rid of a lot of them because I need money, but that's beside the point. I would not have a bloody Talky Tina doll. Not at all. And I'm kind of convinced that Annabelle, the doll, like, I reckon the people that had that Raggedy Ann doll were watching this episode on TV one night and they were like, "I reckon there's something here. Let's pretend this doll, we'll call it Annabelle because they heard the name of the mum as being Annabelle. Let's just say this doll's possessed." I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit too coincidental for my liking. So I'm a little bit skeptical there because I'm like, this just feels like those people just watched this Twilight Zone episode.
You know me, Marcy. I'm going to be on the side of like, nah, that Annabelle doll is definitely evil and creepy and it's definitely possessed. But, you know, that's just me, though. But I can definitely see. But then again, now that you mentioned that, of course, the wife character in the film is named Annabelle, it does make a lot of sense as well. So I don't know. Like, I may have to look more into, like, the backstory of the original Annabelle doll and find out if all this kind of ties in together in some way.
Well,
like,
as I was watching it, I'm like, the mum's called Annabelle. This is about a doll that's going to terrorize someone. This is a little too coincidental, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to mean anything, but I'm kind of leaning to the side of, I'm going to look into this further.
Okay, well, I'm sort of looking it up right now. So this episode aired on November 1st, 1963, and the whole Annabelle, like, haunting, that, like, the first case of it happened in 1971, so this was 8 years after that episode aired.
So what's to say this wasn't on TV one night and these people just saw it?
All right, I'm sort of looking at, let's see, because there's like, I mean, it has like the it does mention the Twilight Zone episode here, which of course, let me just read this part out loud. I think it's funny that we're going down the rabbit hole on all things Annabelle the doll.
Yes.
Which is Texas State University Assistant Professor of Religious Studies Joseph Laycock says most skeptics have dismissed the Warren's Museum as full of off-the-shelf Halloween junk, dolls, toys, and books you should buy at a bookshop. Laycock calls the Annabelle legend an interesting case study in a relationship between pop culture and paranormal folklore, and speculates that the demonic doll trope popularized by Child's Play, Dolly Dearest, and The Conjuring, well, obviously, because, you know, it's the Warrens, likely emerged from early legends surrounding Robert the Doll, and as well from a Twilight Zone episode released 5 years prior to the Warren story entitled Living Doll, in which a character of the mother named I mean, in which the character of the mother is named Annabelle. Laycock suggests that the idea of demonically possessed dolls allows modern demonologists to find supernatural evil in the most benign and domestic of places. Like, there's definitely a lot of other information here, but I think that's a pretty interesting kind of thing. Like, it is possible, but then again, we also have Robert the Doll.
Yeah, that well, was that so. Predated this by quite some time. So it just, yeah, to definitely. Me at least, that there was a lot of similarities, but I can see how just completely influential this episode is, because it's really well acted and it's really well paced, which I really like. Like, it goes through everything in the time it needs to, but you don't feel overly rushed or anything. It plays out really well. Some other interesting facts, like the episode was parodied in that Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, but it was also parodied in an episode of Johnny Bravo.
Yes.
Gabby Gabby from Toy Story 4 was inspired by Talkie Tina, which apparently was confirmed by the director. And an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, where there's a doll called Molly Dolly that's a bit threatening to Sabrina. So,
but that's
a lot of inspirations, yeah. I'd say.
Well, that's the thing that I think people tend to forget about the original version of The Twilight Zone, is just how influential of a show it was, because a lot of these episodes inspired so much in pop culture, whether it be other films, like, you know, The Truman Show, like, even has links back to The Twilight Zone. Final Destination has links back to The Twilight Zone. There's a lot of films and TV shows that in some way were either inspired or kind of share similarities to episodes from The Twilight Zone, and Living Doll in particular is definitely, without a doubt, one of the most influential out of all of them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in future installments, when we go back to The Twilight Zone, we'll definitely cover some others that inspired, like, well-known movies and stuff, because there's quite a few. And I think it's an interesting look at and almost comparison. But it was funny, when I was watching this, I kept picturing the Simpsons episode.
Yes,
and I kept
too.
Expecting it was going to end and the mum was going to be like, oh, no, it was switched to evil.
See, maybe if Eric just, like, looked on the back and maybe the Talkie Tina may have had a good and evil function on there.
Yeah, and Talkie Tina, like, it has a bit of a shocking ending, and Talkie Tina is still like, well, you'd better be nice to me, because it's like, Talkie Tina, for me, is way more terrifying than bloody Chucky ever would be.
See, that's why
I find Chucky scary. The actual good guy doll is kind of creepy, because it's like, who the fuck would play with that? And the redesigned Annabelle doll, I think, is kind of creepy, like from The Conjuring and the Annabelle movies. But I don't think a Raggedy Ann doll is overly scary or anything. But nah, Talkie Tina fucking terrifies me. I don't want that anywhere near me.
I also think, like, what makes Talkie Tina a very scary looking doll is that she looks just like a regular doll. Like, there's nothing. I mean, say what you will about Chucky and Annabelle, as cool those designs are, they're very stylized in how they look to make them look overtly creepy. But Talkie Tina is just a regular doll that any child could have in their home. And I think that's what makes the character much more scary.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, her mouth doesn't move, but she talks, but the eyes open, it's like, ugh, creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I mean, look, if I were to rate this episode out of 5, I would give it a 5 out of 5, because I loved it. I thought it was a great frickin' episode.
I guess for me, I'd give it about a 4.5 out of 5. And like I said, it's definitely a very influential episode, but it is pretty well acted, it's very well directed. And, of course, you know, Telly Savalas just gives a very memorable asshole performance in this film.
Yes, one of the biggest assholes you will see ever. Like, as soon as you meet the character of Eric, you're like, wow, I hope someone drops an anvil on you. You're horrible.
I mean, this is why, like, if anyone on Twitter does any of those quote tweet trends, like who's the biggest asshole in film and TV, I'm definitely going to put Eric on
I literally want to look up that thread and just post his picture.
Yes.
Ugh, hilarious. But yeah, I loved it. I just thought it was great. Do you want to introduce the next episode? Because I gave you a few options and this was the one that you picked out.
Indeed, indeed. So for the next episode we're going to be doing is the episode Little Girl Lost.
What's the matter?
She's not here.
What do you mean she's not?
Look for yourself.
Tina? Mommy?
I turned on the light.
Oh, no, no, it's crazy. It just sounds as if she's... Mommy, pick me up. Chris, where is she?
I don't know.
Well, what are we gonna do?
I don't know, honey, but we're not gonna panic. This is Chris. Can you come over to the house right away?
Which was episode 91 of the show, but was episode 26 from season 3. And also, this story was, I believe, based on a story by Richard Matheson. So this is a... And I know Richard Matheson contributed a lot to The Twilight Zone. Mm. So, and a lot of his stories that were either used or he wrote for the show. Mm. So the opening narration, which I do love the fact that they include the opening narration for all these episodes on the Wikipedia pages for them. So this one says, missing, one frightened little girl. Name, Patina Miller. Description, 6 years of age, average height and build, light brown hair, quite pretty. Last seen being tucked in bed by her mother a few hours ago. Last heard, hey, there's a rub, as Hamlet put it. For Patina Miller can be heard quite clearly, despite the rather curious fact that she can't be seen at all. Present location, let's say for a moment, in the Twilight Zone. But just like a living doll, this episode was also a big inspiration for an episode of The Simpsons, which of course is the classic segment Homer Free from Treehouse of Horror 6 from the 7th season of The Simpsons. So this episode in particular, Marcy, like Living Doll, I've heard about for so long, mainly because of all of it, all the things it influenced throughout the years. And not only did it inspire that episode of The Simpsons, some elements of it were actually inspired the 1982 film Poltergeist.
Yeah, as well. It's again, I was watching this and in my head I had The Simpsons episode, but then I had parts of Poltergeist in my head as well. You can definitely see the inspiration was there. I think they parodied this brilliantly on The Simpsons. I also thought this was a really good episode. And I do think the little lost girl, Bettina, or Tina, it's the same actress that played Christy in the episode we just talked about. She did not do the voice, though.
Indeed, visually. And that's kind of... So I think it's kind of funny that we basically found two episodes that not only feature the same young actor in both, but they both have two characters in them named Tina as well.
Mm. Yeah. This one was really bizarre. It's just this little girl, like, we don't see her at all. She's just missing. You can hear her. And again, this is like reminiscent of Poltergeist when Carol Ann gets, I guess, sucked into the TV. Carol Ann, come to the light. I don't know the line, but anyway, it's very much like that. So the family can hear the girl, like they can in Poltergeist with Carol Ann, but they don't know, like, where she is. And I just kind of had to laugh, like, halfway, or not halfway, but a little bit into the episode. Like, their daughter's missing. The parents are like, where is she? They look under the bed and whatever. They can hear her. And, like, okay, the kid's missing. And the dad's like, oh, I better call my friend Bill. He's a physicist. Not 911 to report your daughter missing, but a physicist. All right. But, you know, besides that, I think it's a really solid episode. I think it's got a really good central mystery. Like, where is she? What's going on? And then we find out, like, in the wall, just like in the Simpsons episode, there is a portal to a different dimension. And that's where Tina gets stuck. But the family dog also goes through the dimension to go find her as well. So then they're dealing with the lost daughter and the dog in there. And to try to figure out, like, how do they get her out. So I really enjoyed this one as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one as well. But it was interesting kind of to see where, again, I'm going back to The Simpsons and Poltergeist, where they got the inspiration for it. But I think it is pretty well acted. Like, everybody does a good, gives a good performance. Yeah. And also, like, how the character of Bill, the physicist, like, tries to explain the science of it all. It felt very, like, I don't know how accurate of science it is in this film, but it sounds convincing, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it sounded very scientific and, like, maybe they put thought into it, but I think it ended up kind of working on some level as, like, I don't know, a theoretical kind of thing. But, yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. I wasn't too sure how this one would go because I knew a bit less about it. But, yeah, it's so cool to see, like, you know, because Poltergeist is its own unique film, and using, like, an element like this from something, I think, works, because nothing's fully original anymore. Your ideas are going to come from somewhere. But I like that it didn't, like, remake this episode or anything. It was its own whole thing. But just having that kind of the girl that's lost, but you can still hear her kind of thing, I think in that sort of borrowing from that, it really works. And again, with the Simpsons episode, it's just so fucking funny. It is one of the funniest segments for a Simpsons episode. And I don't doubt one day on this podcast we will probably go through some Treehouse of Horror segments or episodes. But yeah, this, I thought this episode was, yeah, done really, really well. And I really, really liked it. Again, it's so cool to see, like, this little 25-minute episode that inspired a lot of different things, which, again, it's very cool to see. So, yeah, along with, obviously, like, what we've mentioned, Poltergeist and the Simpsons segment, I think Richard Matheson had said something about the similarities with Poltergeist. But I think, yeah, there's not as much as the previous episode, but it's still, you know, quite a memorable episode. And yeah, again, it is interesting to go over some of these, which, you know, we'll do some more. And if anyone has any suggestions for particular episodes that have inspired films or TV episodes as well, let us know, because we'd love to check more out as well. But yeah, I really, really like this one.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked it overall as well. And especially once we get to the actual other dimension, when we see that in the last arc.
It's not, like, it's not quite like The Simpsons, but it's,
yeah, but even that, it's like trippy. How it's designed, it's very trippy, like, in terms of, like, the production design and also how it's shot as well, because they use a lot of really interesting trippy, like, lenses to make those scenes look out of this world.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But, and also it's kind of a race against time, because as Bill the physicist says, like, basically, yeah, this portal is open up here, but they have to get Tina out quickly before it actually closes up for good. And I was actually, like, fearful, because I'm thinking, like, is something going to happen? Are they going to get out, or is only Tina going to get out and the dad gets stuck in there? Or does the dad get out but Tina gets stuck? Does the dog get out? You know, it's actually got a pretty good stakes and suspense in that department.
Yeah, I was convinced that one of them was going to get left behind in the other dimension. But yeah, like, we don't find out till, like, right at the end, when Bill's like, yeah, it was, the portal was closing, so we didn't have time. That's why I was like, telling you to hurry up and stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's a good thing they got that done then, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
If I were to rate this episode out of 5, I'd say I'd give it a solid 4.5 out of 5. I was very impressed by this episode.
Yeah, I'd give it 4.5 as well. I was very impressed by it as well. Like, it is very well written, well acted, solid direction, and also it can be pretty trippy once it gets into the other dimension. So it gets a big thumbs up from me.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's very trippy. I do applaud them for how they did that, especially on like a small TV budget for, you know, a sci-fi horror show.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very well done. Yeah, I've really enjoyed checking out some Twilight Zone.
I did as well. Like, I've had the entire series on Blu-ray for a while now. but it was good to kind of just finally crack it open and just watch these two episodes. It's definitely made, I mean, I've always intended to finally check out the full series of the show, but now having watched these two episodes and being very impressed by not only how they're made, but also how influential they are, like, I definitely need to watch more and more episodes from the show.
Yeah, I'm very keen to do an episode like this again with a couple of different Twilight Zone episodes. And as I said earlier, if anyone has any cool suggestions, let us know. Be very cool.
Definitely. But I guess that could be a wrap on this little comeback episode of Podcasters of Horror. And thank you once again, Marcy, for being a very awesome co-host and also coming up with the idea for this little comeback episode.
Yes, I'm glad I thought of it, and I'm very glad we watched some Twilight Zone. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, as is usual with Podcasters of Horror, it is a shorter podcast than some of our other shows. Nice, quick, easy listens for everybody. Hopefully we will be back in, not in another 6 months, but hopefully in about a month or so. I'd say a month to a month and a half, just to be on the safe side. We'll have some more awesome horror anthology stuff to talk about.
I mean, we have a couple of movies we'll definitely be talking about, but I know we want to get back to finishing up the final two seasons of Channel Zero. So we haven't decided what the next episode is going to be yet. So I guess for our audience, stay tuned to find out what that's going to be.
Yes, stay tuned. And as usual, if you want to find more from Podcasters of Horror, you can check us out at supermarcy.com. And if you look up Podcasters of Horror or Be Jermaine or Super Marcy on your podcast player of choice, you should be able to find Podcasters of Horror. It has its own podcast feed, as well as being on our main the Super Network podcast feed as well. And all the information is in the show notes on the supermarcy.com website. And if you want to check out anything I do, you can find me on Twitter at supermarcy. I'm also on Letterboxd at super_Marcy. And if you want to check out my solo podcast, just look up After Dark with Super Marcy on your podcast player of choice. Bede, where can people check you out besides the Super Network and supermarcy.com, of course?
Indeed. So if people were to find me, they can find me on my Twitter page at twitter.com/BedeJermaine or my Letterboxd account at letterboxd.com/BedeJermaine. And of course, you can find my solo podcast, Bede vs. the Living Dead, on all podcast streaming services everywhere. And you can follow the official Twitter account for that at twitter.com/BedeVSTLD.
Indeed, very, very easy. And yeah, hope you've all enjoyed this episode. And yeah, we'll definitely be back. We love our Podcasters of Horror podcast because we love our horror anthologies. Until next time, make sure you're not in the Twilight Zone.
And don't buy any dolls named Talking Tina.
And try not to slide off your bed and accidentally go into a different dimension.
Indeed.
Good night, everybody.
See everyone. Bye.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi. So just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal. You can also find the link in the show notes. Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy Shark, do 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 do. Surfy Shark, do 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 do. And now back to the show.